He pastors in Mansfield, Ohio, at the Walker Lake Baptist Church. I appreciate this man. He preached for us this past Sunday morning, and God touched him and used him. But he's God's man for this time this morning. You preach to us. Love you.
Mark chapter number 10 in your Bible. And I want to thank the preachers who have already preached this morning. And Ronnie, what a blessing that was. Some of y'all need to learn to laugh a little bit. A merry heart doeth good like medicine. And I like a preacher that's as old as him, has been as through as much as him, been pastoring as long as him, and he's still laughing. I meet a lot of folks been pastoring a week and a half. They can't smile if you painted it on with lipstick. But thank God, Brother Ronnie, for the testimony. I love you, brother. And to the light guy back there, my Uncle Dana has pledged $10 for every minute that you give me beyond 20. So that's just a little motivation for you. And I'm just trying to be a blessing to everybody. Praise God. Amen. And Brother Steve, thank you for the honor to preach from this amazing place. And you wonderful folks have been a joy to be around. Thank God for every meal that has been cooked, every glass of sweet tea that this Yankee has drank. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to take a jug home with me. And we just love you folks, and it is a blessing to be a part of this meeting. It's honorable. Mark chapter number 10, if you will. And we'll begin reading in verse number 46. And just as an introduction, several months ago, the Lord gave me a series of messages titled, Those Who Saw Christ Clearly. And I got interested in the multitudes of people in the Word of God that were privileged to see Christ here on earth. And as I began to study this thought, I quickly realized there were two types of people that gazed upon the Son of God. One, there were people that saw him, and two, there were people who clearly saw him. Amen. And I noticed in the Word of God that there's a big difference between those two groups. The response to Christ is a whole lot different. The commitment to Christ is a whole lot different. The conversion that takes place is a whole lot different. The change that takes place in the life is different between someone who sees him just as the carpenter's son, just as Mary and Joseph's boy, just as the one from Nazareth, compared to the one who truly and clearly sees him as the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. There's a big difference, and we realize through the Word of God, the maniac of Gadara certainly saw him clearly in his chaos. We know that in that tomb where he cried all hours of the night and cut himself, that by the time Jesus showed up and it was all said and done, friend, he was sitting at his feet clothed and in his right mind. I'd say he clearly seen the Son of God. Others seen him in that story and they wanted to chase him out because of their own pigs. I'd say they did not see him clearly on that day. The woman with the issue of blood saw him clearly through the crowd. Didn't she push through as everybody surrounded him? There was one that busted through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment, and when she did, all of heaven took notice of that girl. I'd say, hallelujah, she saw him clearly, and the rest of the crowd did not. Jairus seen him clearly from the casket, did he not? As his daughter laid there dying, he realized the only one who could do something about it was the Son of the living God. He saw him clearly as he went a-looking for him to save his daughter. The woman at the well seen him clearly in her concealment as she tried to hide from the rest of the world. But oh God, as he met her at that well that day, it wasn't going to be just another day. Why is that, preacher? Because she's seen the Son of God for who he is. Hallelujah to God. The thief saw him clearly from Calvary, did he not? There was two hanging there. One looked at him and it was just another human being hanging dead. But the other one looked and seen him clearly. And it was due to that he was able to cry out, Remember me when thou comest in to thy kingdom. Hey, you may not get excited, but one day, thank God, I seen him clearly. And I'm here today as a result of it. It was no longer just some religious thing that my uncle was looking at. And thank God the church on the corner wasn't just another religious building, but I got to see him clearly one day. And thank God it has forever, eternally changed my life. Hallelujah. Don't get excited. He allowed you to see him clearly one day. Try to contain yourself when others hadn't, honey. Here you sit this morning on your way to glory land because he awakened you to see him clearly. Hallelujah. Here in this text, we see another one of these who saw him clearly. Quickly, in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, he sees him clearly, does he not? Have mercy on me. And many charged him, there'll always be one in the crowd, that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered, said unto him, what would thou have? What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Boy, that question is still advanced in your heart this morning. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, thank God, I like that Bible word. Immediately, it don't take Jesus long to work. Once you see him and you fall at his feet, there's something that takes place immediately. Oh, in your soul that says, I've made a good choice. Hallelujah to God. I want to preach this. I'm going to borrow a title from a song. Ask the blind man. He saw it all, thank God. Amen. Amen. And I studied this text. I realized that there is a great number of folks amongst this crowd. In verse number 1, it tells us a great number of people are there. But it just seemed to me after reading it that Mark hones in on this one man who is titled Blind Bartimaeus, pointing out his infirmity. And though he is the only one there who is titled blind, after looking at this, Brother Steve, I realize this blind man is the only one in the text who can really and truly see. Thank God, hallelujah. I want to point out a few things in his life that he seen clearly, hallelujah, and that you need to see clearly this morning. First of all, I want to point out the thought that he saw his condition clearly. In verse 46, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Seems to me like he's in an awful condition. I noticed the place of his condition is in that place called Jericho. We realize as Bible readers that is the cursed city. We notice the permanence of his condition. His name is Blind Bartimaeus. And I don't know how many of you know this. I'm not a doctor. But once a man is blind, I don't know that there's any hope of him ever receiving his sight. So it seems to me that this infirmity is permanent. Oh, I was there one day. Don't look at me all self-righteous. You thought your infirmity was permanent too one day. Nothing you could do about the sin you was tied up in, the life that you lived, the wretchedness you were swallowed up in. But thank God Jesus showed up one day. Hallelujah. the permanence of his condition, the place of his condition seems to be a wretched one. But then there is the pitifulness of his condition. He's sitting by the highway side begging. All that together seems to tell me that he is in one bad condition. And isn't it something that it's so easy for everybody else to pass by where he is begging and see how pitiful that this man's condition really is? It's always easier for everybody else to see how bad your life is, how bad your marriage is, how lost you are, that booze and them drugs have left you in an awful place. And it's easy for everybody else to see it. But if blind Bartimaeus is really going to get some help for his life on this day, it is him that's going to have to see clearly how awful his condition really is. This is the very sovereignty of God, supposing that he could come to where he is and awaken him to the condition that he really is in. And no man cries for help that does not realize that he needs help. Amen. One of my uncles, I approached his home one day, walked in the front door, and there he was sitting on the couch, been a drunkard his whole life, was in a pile of filth in his own couch. And I walked in and I asked him, I said, how you doing today? And he said, oh, good. I said, well, how's the family doing? He said, good. Everything's good. Well, we knew it wasn't. You could clearly see. And I heard some stirring going around upstairs. I walked upstairs and I opened the bedroom door, and there was his daughter in that bedroom. And she was weeping and crying. Listen to me, I'm telling you, you better see your condition clearly this morning. Amen. She was in that bedroom weeping and crying. I said, what's wrong, honey? She said, I can't find a vein to stick this needle in. How sad it was. Oh, my goodness, the condition that she laid in. And the other room was his wife. I opened the door over there, and in a pile of puke and filth, his wife lay there near death. And I walked back downstairs. I said, hey, buddy, I thought you said everything was okay. I realized in his mind, his demented mind, everything was okay. The problem was he could not see the condition that he was really in. But I thank God, hey, that Jesus can come by your way and awaken you this morning to your condition. Hey, young person, I know you're here. You dressed up real good. Your mom and daddy had you in church your whole life. You're probably up here singing, but you're lost and you're in a cursed world and you're headed to a devil's hell. If you do not awaken to the condition that you're in, one of these days you will regret it. I thank God for the day 20 years ago, sitting in that jail cell in downtown Cleveland, Ohio. Already been to prison once, ruined my life, destroyed everything good. I didn't care. Came home, and 4 months later, I went right back to prison for the second time. But as those marshals put me in that jail cell, thank God, don't get happy, I'll get happy for you. They put me in that jail cell. And 5-6 minutes went by. There was a young Mexican that God sent into that cell. And it was as if he brought in a Holy Ghost mirror into that place. And thank God, for the first time in my life, honey, as he put it in my face, awaken me to the condition that I was truly in. And it was only because of that, praise God, that I'm here this morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't get excited. You're going to heaven because Jesus awakened you to your condition. Thank God. He sees it clearly. It's the only reason he's willing to take a chance on Jesus. He realizes he needs it. Those two that came and got saved last night. I'm just thinking, preacher, wonder why they came. I'll tell you why. The God of heaven awakened them to the condition they were in. And that's the only reason why they came. Woo, glory. I got about 5 points. I don't know that I'll get 3 of them. He awakened him to his condition, and he sees his condition clearly on this day. But not only that, he sees his chance clearly. The Bible lets us know that of all the people that are blessed enough on that day to have the very Son of God, by the way, the God brother of all possibilities is passing by their way, that Mark records forever that one man, blind Bartimaeus, has enough guts and enough courage to take a chance on Jesus. Wow, my goodness. I bet you if you stood him up here this morning and asked him, hey, old Bartimaeus, because he ain't blind no more, praise God. How you doing? I just wonder, do you regret taking the chance on Jesus that you did? Woo, I guarantee you it would be a resounding no. And I can say in my own life this morning, I'm so thankful that as God thought enough of me to pass by my way one day, that I just reared back and took a chance on him this morning. Hey, amen to God. I say I regret a lot of things. I regret the prisons. I regret the streets. I regret the drugs. I regret the drunkenness. I thank God. But I do not regret the day that finally, for the first time, honey, I was willing to take a chance on Jesus. And it's panned out pretty good so far. Hallelujah. And 10,000 years from now, as I'm kneeling at the golden throne of glory with all the saints gathered around, crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, I'm sure deep in my soul, I'll look at somebody and they'll look at me and we'll say one to another, aren't you glad that day as a wretched sinner that you took a chance on Jesus? Woo, glory, glory, glory. He sees his condition clearly. He sees his chance clearly. He sees his capturing clearly. In verse 49, I'm trying to hurry. And Jesus stood still. Whoa, that's going to go over your head if you're not careful. He cries out to God, this poor, wretched, blind soul cries out to the Son of God. And the Bible said, and Jesus stood still. His cry has captured the attention of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, wait just a second, preacher. You're going a little too far this morning. You mean to tell me in my wretched condition, lost and on my way to hell, God's already given me 1,000 chances. You mean to tell me if he showed me my condition this morning and I was to just get up enough faith to cry out to the Son of God, are you telling me you want me to believe that it would make him put everything he's doing on hold to deal with me? Well, that's what he did for this blind beggar. I think he'd do it for you. I think he's got 2 thoughts in this. One, the thought is to everyone that's like this blind beggar, that if he did it for him, thank God he'll do it for you. Every blind man now can say to themselves, if he healed one blind man, thank God he can heal me. Aren't you glad for those of you who have sons and daughters tied up in drugs and in prison somewhere? You want to give up hope on them, but you got to deal with me. I was hopeless. I had no chance of recovery. The whole world said, bury him. He's not worth it. But thank God the Son of God came by, revealed himself. I took a chance and cried out. I don't know what he had going on. I'm sure it was a whole lot more than I had going on. But whatever it was, he was willing to put it all aside to deal with me on that day. And thank God he's never too busy to deal with you this morning. Woo! He wants to deal with you this morning. Praise God, hallelujah. Aren't you glad, honey, that Jesus is available this morning for you, hallelujah. Amen to God, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Seen his capturing clearly. But I want you to see his confidence that everybody else saw clearly. I'm done. I got a red light. Remember that $10. Do you know the reason why Jesus is revealing himself to you is because he wants to reveal himself to somebody else. And the reason why everybody else knows that this man is confident of the one that's standing before him, because you realize he's a blind beggar. And all of his hope up to this moment has been in that beggar's cup. Everything he's doing every day involves that cup. Everywhere he goes, if he loses that cup, he loses hope. And that's where his hope is in, Brother Steve, a beggar's cup. Think about that. Mine one day was in a dollar bill. Amen. I don't know what yours was in. But he's got that cup. And here's what it says. And when Jesus came by and called unto him, he said, come on, I call in your name. Here's what the Bible said, that he cast off his garment. That garment represented who he was. It speaks of the old man. Speaks of everything that he is. But that beggar's cup is his hope. Here's what I thought of. This might be stupid to you. It made sense to me. If he's going to really be transformed this day, there's something that's got to happen. Because I thought about this. Let's say he does try to get that garment coat off, and he's going to go to Christ, and he's saying to everyone, I believe in him. I trust in him. And he gets this side off. Do you know, as long as he holds on to that beggar's cup, he cannot get that old man off. And can you see him saying, I've got confidence in Jesus, here I come, as he drags that old man with him all the way to the foot of Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, the only way he cast off that old man is he's got to turn loose of the beggar's cup, and then he can shed that old garment, and he can say to the world, I'm not going to need that anymore. I'm free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out and show me the way. I'm saying you've got to see him clearly this morning. Oh, your condition. Young person, you sitting in here lost as a goose. But I'm not going to be able to convince you of that. But thank God Jesus can. Your marriage in a bad condition, I can't convince you of it. But Jesus can. Your ministry in a bad condition, I can't. But he can, thank God. And I don't know about you. I smile like this on a daily basis. Sometimes I have to stop. I start looking like that idiot, Jolly Osteen. But I can tell you this, you ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Praise God, my sins are gone. And if that ain't a reason to shout this morning, hang it up, I've got nothing else for you, friend. Ooh. Seeing Christ clearly, hallelujah.
Brother Jamie, give that to Brother Jamie. Don't you appreciate that preaching this morning? Miss Esther, would you come around and sing something before Brother